Tobacco Club in the entire nation with a home base right here in Raleigh. The feds call him one of the most violent and dangerous drug dealers now off the streets.
An Arctic blast is set to send our temperatures into the 20s. I'll tell you when and show you the rain sneaking into your weekend forecast.
Today, parents stood outside schools waiting for their children to come outside after multiple lockdowns at schools across Wake County. Those lockdowns are possibly coming from threats like this one you see here that a parent sent us, which lists the schools someone is threatening to, quote, shoot up. Thank you for joining us. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Gerald Owens. No students were injured during the 6 lockdowns in Wake County, but the 2 schools on code red dismissed early, Zebulon Middle and East Millbrook Magnet Middle Schools. A code red means students have to stay in safe areas and doors have to be locked. The other 4 schools under code red, you see them there, Oberlin, Broughton, Dillard Drive, Magnet, and Elementary. Now, that means no one can be outside of the building.
WRL's Adam Owens has been at Zebulon Middle School all day speaking with students and parents. Adam, this is not the first time that people are dealing with something like this there.
Deborah, you're right, and that makes it all the more sad. Where I'm standing right now, earlier this morning, there was a large group of parents across the street from Zebulon Middle School here behind me. They were desperate to find out that their children were safe, that they were okay. And at our schools, this is a scene that has been playing over and over again. Panicked parents forced to wait outside could only talk to their children inside the school through text messages.
Mom, we're on code red. Mom, I'm so scared.
So were these parents. Their children's school, Zebulon Middle, was on lockdown. Officers and flashing lights surrounded the campus.
You just tell a retarded kid, listen to the teachers, keep your head down.
We're part of an active shooter at Zebulon Middle School.
When you listen to reports on first responder radio traffic from Broadcastify, you understand why there was such a large officer response.
Report of shots heard upstairs, 6th grade hallway. Multiple shots heard.
That report came in a text to 911. Parents were also concerned by threatening posts to social media, like these, showing weapons, a map to the school, and a racially charged one threatening to shoot up schools.
We had a social media threat that we needed to take very seriously.
While officers searched the school room to room, parents could only wait. Finally, investigators told them no threat was found and no one was injured.
We're going to begin releasing in just a short while.
We were there when 7th grader Ariana Faison was reunited with her mother, Deanna.
We had to go into like a really small room, and there were a lot of us, so it was really crowded.
My nerves have been all over the place the whole time, so this right here is relief just to see her.
We have got to get to a point where people are held accountable for their actions, and even young folks need to understand how serious this kind of thing is.
And Deborah, we want to point out again, make sure people understand there was no threat. There was no weapons that were found at this school, according to the officers who searched every room in the school here behind me. And this is not the first time, as you mentioned, that they have dealt with a similar situation here at Zebulon Middle. It was only earlier this week, WREL was reporting that there had been a threat here at the school. Again, it was something else posted to social media, Deborah.
Boy, anxious time for students, for parents, and law enforcement alike. Adam Owens reporting live in Raleigh. Thank you, Adam.
Representatives of the school system are speaking out for the first time about these threats. The chairwoman of the Board of Education says one threat is too many. School leaders are debating ways to deal with the excessive threats. We asked how they're helping students and parents cope with anxiety and stress brought on by these events.
Are there any resources for students and families to take advantage of after, you know, this chaos?
There's always your student counselor that families and students can reach out to. We also have a list of resources on our website, and making sure that parents and students are checking in with one another to make sure that they're having those conversations at home.
Coming up at our news at 7 o'clock, Aaron Thomas has more on the chair's remarks and the extra security at local sporting events tonight. A box truck overturned, shutting down a Wake County road for more than an hour. This happened on Johnson Pond Road just after 3:30 this afternoon. The WRUL breaking news tracker shot this video of the scene. And new information tonight. Deputies say the driver ran off the road, overcorrected, causing the truck to roll over. No one was hurt in this, but the driver will be charged.
Well, it is chilly today all over our area. Meteorologist Mike Mays is in the WRUL Severe Weather Center. And Mike, it's going to get even colder tonight.
Yeah, we have a quick blast of Arctic air depth that's coming in tonight. We're starting to feel it now. The air is really drying out. Dew point 7, temperature 42, and we've seen the sunset over North Hills. These are the current temperatures, 34 at Roxborough, it's 47 Fayetteville, 43 at Southern Pines. And with the air so dry, temperatures are going to crash this evening, and we're going to have a wind chill to talk about. In fact, by 7 o'clock, could be looking at a wind chill here in Raleigh of 26, a wind chill of 30 in Fayetteville, a wind chill of Roxborough up to about 20 or down to about 20 by that point. By 11 o'clock, feeling like 19 at Roxborough, 20 in Raleigh, 22 at Fayetteville. If you're an early riser in the morning at 5 a.m., we're talking about wind chills in the teens across the area. And by 7 and 8 a.m., wind chills still in the teens. Our forecast lows for some locations will be in the teens. Roxborough about 15, 14 at South Hill, 20 in Raleigh, 21 in Fayetteville. This is some of the coldest air we've seen since Christmas when we had temperatures in the teens and 20s, but it's a quick rebound. Check it out. Normal highs 54. It's 43 tomorrow, 42 on Sunday, and then feeling like spring next week, 70 by next Wednesday. We have the potential for some rain this weekend. I'll outline that coming up in a few minutes, Deb.
All right, Mike. See you in a few minutes. Thanks. The FBI is now offering a new reward for information about the Moore County substation attacks. The Bureau's Charlotte office added up to $25,000 for information about what happened. Between the FBI, the state, county, and Duke Energy, there's now $100,000 worth of rewards available for information. The attack led to 45,000 customers losing power for as long as 5 days back in December. Anyone with information is asked to contact the FBI at tips.fbi.gov.
New tonight, we now know how law enforcement was able to arrest one of the leaders of a biker gang. Christopher Baker, who lived in Raleigh, will spend the rest of his life in prison after being convicted of trafficking meth and guns along the East Coast. Baker is a leader of the Pagan Motorcycle Gang. WRL's Chelsea Donovan was there as we heard about the operation to take him into custody, and she joins us live. Chelsea, we also learned more about this man's history.
Absolutely, Gerald. As you mentioned, Christopher Baker was a national leader living right here in Raleigh for the Pagans. And I learned today that there are around 300 motorcycle gangs across the nation, with the Pagans ranking in the top four, according to the U.S. attorney, as a serious domestic threat.
The FBI estimates there are over 1,500 Pagans across 41 chapters across the country.
And United States Attorney Michael Easley Jr. says this man, 49-year-old Christopher Baker, was the head of the Pagan Outlaw Gang here in Raleigh.
Christopher Baker rose through the ranks using violence and intimidation. He became one of the most influential players in the Pagans nationally. And this international organization relied on him to lead operations in North and South Carolina.
Baker was sentenced Thursday to 75 years in federal prison, a man he calls a prolific meth trafficker, sentenced on drug trafficking, money laundering, and firearm charges. The operation was called Ice Diamond. Through undercover work and wiretapping, federal and state agents found that Baker supplied 260 kilograms of meth all over the East Coast. To give you an idea of how much meth, this is just 5 kilos pictured here.
It's highly pure, cartel-made methamphetamine cooked in a Mexican lab.
46 guns, including a machine gun, were also seized in the operation that dismantled the Pagan gang leader and part of his club.
Firearms that were confiscated as a result of this investigation undoubtedly saved countless lives.
In January, 37-year-old Jonas Padilla, a Pagan gang member according to sources, was murdered in Raleigh. 5 rival gang members were arrested and charged for that crime.
Our investigation into outlaw motorcycle gangs continues, and it will continue.
19 other people were sentenced as part of this operation. We should mention that 12 of them were Pagan gang members. Gerald.
Chelsea Donovan, live in Wake County. Thank you, Chelsea.
Raleigh police have arrested a man for a dozen sex crimes against a child, and the offenses date back 16 years. Jeffrey Jose De Pena was arrested in Washington State, where he now lives. Court documents say the 36-year-old took indecent liberties with a child under 16 years old in 2007, 2008, and again in 2012. Raleigh police took out warrants for De Pena in early January. He faces 12 felonies, including 5 counts of taking indecent liberties and 7 counts of first-degree sex offense of a child.
Long lines at the DMV have been a thing for a while. Still ahead, Keely Arthur will tell us what the state is doing to get you through the lines and on your way faster.
Right now, what we know about that Chinese balloon sailing over the U.S., its capabilities, intent, and the U.S. military's options. Also, why that next email to your doctor may cost you part of the changing face of medicine when we see you back here tonight.
Medical marijuana is not legal in North Carolina, but one lawmaker thinks that could soon change. We ask him why he thinks that and what needs to happen to pull it off on the record.
I feel like we can always say it's the weekend once we get to Friday night sunset, right? And so look at this beautiful sunset we are seeing in Beaufort tonight. Boy, hopefully you get a chance to take a trip to the coast soon. It's going to be cold this weekend, but it'll still be beautiful. You're watching WRL News, available on YouTube TV, Spectrum, and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
Fayetteville has a new police chief. A few hours ago, Cam Braden was sworn in. He replaces Gina Hawkins, who retired. Braden has been with the department since 1996. He started as an officer. He worked his way through the ranks and was promoted to assistant chief in charge of the Field Operations Bureau. The new chief says he is in no rush to make any major changes.
Part of that first 30 days is really having those conversations with individuals internally and externally about what they feel the change needs to be as well. I have a bunch of ideas about what those changes are, but to help manage the expectations of the department I lead and the community I serve, I need to take that time just to talk to them and see what their expectations of change are as well.
Braden's appointment is history-making. He's the first Fayetteville police chief of Asian descent.
What U.S. officials are calling a Chinese balloon high over the U.S. is on track to go over North Carolina. This track shows it coming toward North Carolina tomorrow. You can see tonight it was located in Missouri. The Pentagon is rejecting China's earlier claim that the balloon is a civilian airship. We asked a Duke professor of public policy and political science about what it means for us. You can find that interview on the homepage of WRL.com. Well, it's the place nearly every North Carolinian must go, yet would rather avoid, the DMV. Five on Your Side has tracked wait times for months.
And sometimes it seems it takes that long to get through the lines. WRL's Keely Arthur tells us what's being done to ease the strain at the DMV.
If you think we're experiencing record long wait times at the DMV, think again. That distinction actually belongs to 2018 and 2019, when folks were trying to meet the deadline for the real ID. But long waits still persist. It looks like one of those lines you'd see trying to get into an exclusive club, but it's not exclusive. It's the DMV office in Cary.
This is a public service that should be accessible to everyone.
Cassandra Duarte waited in line with her daughter to get a learner permit. They got in. Others did not.
One woman walked in, she needed to get on an airplane, and she didn't have a valid license. Somebody died. Like, literally can't be seen, was turned away.
If they're a driver or not, young or old, rich or poor, black or white, that is our welcome mat. And I feel like that agency just slams the door in everybody's face.
Normally what I would say...
Rodney Baker is on the front lines of the agency.
Why? Because you don't have your seatbelt on.
He's worked as a DMV examiner for nearly a decade.
I'm going to ask you for your turn signals.
He tells Five on Your Side he's processing the same number of customers he always has. There's just fewer workers.
How do you maintain your cool when you can feel the energy of people kind of tapping their toes and waiting?
You just reassure them that you're going to try to take care of them. Make sure they have all the documents before they get inside. Provide them with all the information, communicate with them.
DMV Commissioner Wayne Goodwin needs more Rodney Bakers. The agency currently has 236 vacancies. To attract more people, they've recently increased wages and implemented a hiring bonus.
If you want to work for a great agency that needs you, we're hiring.
He believes more workers equals more people through the DMV doors daily, and it will allow them to expand walk-in hours at certain locations starting at 7 a.m., something they had at several locations in the past.
It is my goal to increase that so we have at least half of our offices statewide that will open an hour early and ideally provide even more walk-in service time for customers. There's a lot to get to that point, but I believe we can do it.
And is that, you want that permanently?
Yes.
Something else that's clogging up the lines, you. DMV officials say a lot of people are coming in person for services they could get done online, like renewing your license, something that you will need to come here for, getting your driver's license for the first time, and a real ID. Keely Arthur, 5 on your side.
And remember, when you go to the DMV, be patient. There are a lot of hardworking people that are trying to get you through quickly. If you have a story for 5 on your side, you can call the number on your screen or you can email Keely at callkeely@wrl.com.
Meteorologist Mike Mays is joining us now in the WREL Severe Weather Center. Boy, it's so nice to see the sun today, wasn't it?
It is, but tomorrow morning is going to be a rude awakening for some people.
Yeah, that sunshine really boosted the mood today, but may bring you down tomorrow morning. Now, wanted to go back and take a look at what happened in December. Remember when we had the last Arctic blast around Christmas? We had lows in the teens and 20s. So this tonight will be the coldest night since about December 26th. The low at RDU was 15. We're expecting 20 tonight, but there will be many locations tonight that would have the potential to reach 15. Now, if the winds tonight were completely calm, which they're not going to be, then we could possibly get this low in the triangle. We're not forecasting that because we expect the winds to be up a little bit. So about 20 is probably what we'll see. So it's 42 right now at the airport. We have crystal clear sky, 34 at Roxborough, 37 at South Hill. These are the wind chills. So it feels like 28 in Roxborough, feels like 38 in Raleigh, feels like 43 in Fayetteville. And as you're out and about this evening, wind chills will begin to dip into the 20s. So make sure you're dressed appropriately. We don't want you to be too cold as you're out there. So for the day tomorrow, nothing but sunshine. It will be a cold start. We're expecting 20 for the low here in the triangle. By 8 a.m., 23. If you're heading to the Krispy Kreme Challenge, 8,000 people running in the race. Can you imagine? That's a dozen donuts. What's about 96,000 donuts that someone's going to have to bake, or they probably already baked them. 30 by the time we get to about 10 a.m. Lunchtime, 37. 2 o'clock, 40. And by 4 o'clock, about 43. So, yeah, it's going to be a cold day, and the wind's not as brisk as they were today. Sunday takes on a different look and a different feel. Mostly cloudy skies to start the day, 33 at 8. By 10 a.m., about 41. Lunchtime should be a solid overcast, 48. By 2 o'clock, about 50 with a 20% chance for some sprinkles. And then by 4 o'clock, a 30% chance for rain. Now, this shouldn't come as a surprise because Kat and I have had a 20% chance for rain for Sunday and clouds for the past few days. We've upped it to 30% because there's enough energy and enough moisture that there could be some light rain. So here is the forecast for Sunday. This time stamp is for about 5 o'clock. There's some moisture that lifts in from the Atlantic and rotates over the triangle in the eastern part of the state. Probably won't venture far off to the west to affect the Triad and the Charlotte areas. 52 in Raleigh, 54 at Fayetteville, 54 at Rocky Mount. This would roughly be around from about 3 o'clock to about 8 or 9 o'clock in the evening. Then it will be gone, and then we expect dry weather overnight Sunday. So tonight will be clear and cold. Temperatures will be in the teens in our northern counties to about 20. 20 in Raleigh, maybe 16 at Wilson. New model data has come in, and some of these numbers look lower than what I showed at 5 o'clock. 21 in Fayetteville, 20 at Southern Pines, 19 in Clinton. And then for tomorrow, our highs in our southern counties with plenty of sunshine, 45 Fayetteville, 43 at Smithfield, 44 in Goldsboro. And then farther north, we expect temperatures to be in the low 40s, anywhere from 40 at Roanoke Rapids, 41 in Roxboro, 43 in Raleigh, and also Durham. 7-day forecast, 30 for the low on Sunday. I think we'll have mostly cloudy skies to maybe an overcast Saturday night that would prevent us from getting quite so cold, so we up the low a bit. 52 with that small chance for sprinkles and light rain. Monday's mostly sunny, 61. 64 on Tuesday, mostly cloudy. Wednesday, 70. A chance for rain on Thursday, 67. 69 on Friday, and signs are we'll cool back down next weekend. So the warm-up is short-term again.
Well, it is still February, yep. So we got to expect that. Thanks, Mike.
Chris Lee is here with sports and a scenario I've never heard of.
Yeah, Duke women's basketball said they played with the wrong ball for the first 20 minutes of a game, and the ACC has responded after the break. Duke head women's coach Kara Lawson explains when her team knew that they were playing with the wrong ball versus Florida State and the ACC's statement that they released today in response. The story is next.
It's been very frustrating that at this level of basketball, that a mistake like that happens, that could have impacted the outcome of the game.
After Duke women's basketball team beat Pitt 53-44, head coach Kara Lawson ripped into the ACC, telling the media that her team played an entire half with the men's basketball this past Sunday at Florida State. And today, the conference responded.
This would never happen in a men's game. This would never happen. This just wouldn't happen. And it's embarrassing for our sport.
Duke lost to Florida State Sunday, 70-57. But just last night, we learned Duke is alleging that they played with a men's basketball in the first half.
Our players were complaining about the ball. My assistant coach, Winston Gandy, went to the table to look at the ball. And when he went to the table to look at the ball, he realized it was a men's ball.
Head coach Kara Lawson says the timekeeper's table wouldn't change the ball at halftime, but the head official did, and both teams played with the correct ball in the second half.
Let me be clear. Florida State beat us. They beat us playing with a men's ball in the first half and a women's ball in the second half. But I can't say if we'd have played with a women's ball in the first half and the second half that we would have won. But they can't say that either.
So Lawson tried to appeal.
I wanted to appeal and protest the game. The conference would not allow me to do that.
This morning, the ACC released a statement in response saying, quote, upon completion of the game, the conference office was made aware of the allegation and immediately conducted a comprehensive review. Following the thorough and objective review process, there was no evidence found to support the claim.
We have concluded through our investigation that it was a men's ball. It's a complete failure. And you can figure out who the people I'm talking about that failed. The sport and our players and both teams. And the lack of accountability is striking. When you make a mistake, you own it, and you own it right away. You don't pass the buck. It's what I teach my players every day.
Lawson says that the ACC assured her that captains and referees will confirm if the ball is correct before every ACC women's basketball game going forward this season. The latest edition of the Battle of the Blues on the men's side is tomorrow at Duke. WREL will have team coverage before and after the game. You can catch it beginning at 6 o'clock on WREL and Fox 50. We'll have more on this Kara Lawson and Duke women's situation. We'll have more tonight at 10 and 11.
Pretty incredible. Thanks, Chris.
She's understandably upset. Thanks for watching. We're just minutes away from NBC Nightly News. Tonight, the new bill you could receive from your doctor. What to know before you email your healthcare provider.
And tonight at 7, we're going in-depth discussing why hundreds of people working in Durham are being fined a monthly fee because they're not vaccinated. We'll see you at 7.